Well, friends, we're beginning a series of messages in the morning services in August from the book of Jonah. So I invite you to turn there to the book of Jonah. That's found on page 1323 in the Bibles provided for you. Jonah's kind of one of those small books that's a little hard to find. So 1323 is the page number, Jonah. We're just going to read the first three verses, and we're going to have six sermons total on this, so four in the month of August, and then we take a break, all right? And then the last two will come a little bit later, okay? So just so you know that, where we're going, Jonah chapter 1, and we'll just read the first three verses of Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, beloved in Christ, accidentally doing something or absent-mindedly doing something the wrong way can be funny. Like turning the hose on outside and not realizing the sprayer is on and aimed right at your head. Whoops, wrong way. Or when cooking a meal and the recipe calls for a dash or two of salt, and you forget you had loosened the top of the shaker. Voomp, and all the salt goes in. This is going to be one savory pot roast, I'll tell you. Whoops, wrong way. Accidentally doing these things is one thing. Deliberately doing them is quite another. Like if you deliberately took that water sprayer and sprayed it all over someone's head who happened to be all dressed up for going to church or a wedding or something. A whoops, wrong way apology doesn't really cut it. Whoops, wrong way in that situation sounds like what they would call a sorry, not sorry apology. There was intent. You did it deliberately. It wasn't funny. And yet here you are not really apologizing at all. Whoops, wrong way. Shouldn't have done it. Sorry. Not sorry. That sounds rather like, a disgraceful, sacrilegious, offensive, blasphemous opening ceremony to a certain Olympic Games that I'm sure most of us are aware of. Sorry. We didn't mean to offend. It was meant to be inclusive. Can't help it if you can't see that. Whoops, wrong way, sorry, but not really sorry. When there's intent, the whoops, wrong way defense just doesn't really cut it. And that's what we have here with the prophet Jonah. Jonah didn't just accidentally go the wrong way after hearing the Lord's command to go to Nineveh to prophesy. Whoops, wrong way. No, he deliberately went the wrong way. Did it on purpose. He sorry not sorried his actions. That's what our story's about today. In these first few verses of Jonah, we learn Jonah is deliberately going the wrong way. The sign points east to Nineveh, and Jonah hangs a louie. The young man goes west, off to Joppa and to Tarshish, off to the land of task-free opportunity. There's no getting around it. Jonah deliberately goes the wrong way in disobedience to God's command. Now, why did Jonah do it? If you peek ahead, or if you know the story, if you peek ahead to the end of the story, you know that Jonah doesn't like it at all, that God is about to be compassionate to Nineveh, to that great city of wickedness, Nineveh. But in these first three verses, we don't know that yet. So let's try to figure it out from these three verses, why Jonah disobeyed and went, whoops, wrong way, sorry, not sorry. First, regular? Nope. This is a new way to prophesy, not a regular one. Most of the Lord's prophets weren't commanded to do what Jonah was commanded to do, and that is he was commanded to leave his homeland, to leave northern Israel in order to go a long way away, at least 500 miles away to Nineveh. Most of the Lord's prophets stayed in Israel or in Judah and prophesied from there against their own kingdom or against foreign lands. They got to do their job within the confines of their own country, on home turf. They had home court advantage. That is the regular way it was done. Not so with Jonah here. This is something new, challenging, innovative, but irregular. Leaving home all by himself, all alone, to a strange city far away, that wasn't regular for a prophet. Perhaps it took Jonah off guard. He was used to being a prophet for his own people. He was the prophet for King Jeroboam II of Israel. 2 Kings 14:25 tells us that. He was a prophet with a good reputation as well. He prophesied for Jeroboam that the boundaries of Israel would be restored. And Jeroboam did restore the boundaries of Israel to what they were supposed to be. Jonah had a respected prophetic reputation in Israel. But suddenly, he's told to do something irregular. Jonah never had to leave the country to be a prophet before. Now suddenly, the regular routine is broken. Rise up and go to Nineveh and preach against it. And Jonah won't do it. I'm just a regular guy. I don't do irregular prophetic work. Second, results. Results? Ha! Unlikely. There was likely some doubt in Jonah's mind that his preaching will even provide results, will even move the Ninevites to repentance at all. You can imagine Jonah thinking to himself, if God's chosen people, Israel, won't even listen 99% of the time, will a heathen nation listen? I really doubt it. They don't even know the name of the Lord God over there. They aren't in the covenant of believers. They are a wicked people whose wickedness has come before the Lord. What gives God the idea that they would listen half as well as Israel listened? Doubt likely filled Jonah's mind. I doubt my preaching will produce results. Highly unlikely. Third, risky? Yep, risky. This was a risky mission. Nineveh's wickedness was renowned. Zephaniah, another prophet, speaks of the future destruction of Nineveh and gives the reason why they would be destroyed. He says, this is the carefree city that lived in safety. She says to herself, I am, and there's none beside me. How arrogant and proud Nineveh is. Nahum, another prophet, tells all about the wicked things Nineveh did. Nineveh plots against the Lord. They are called vile, and they worship carved images. They kill and they prey on other nations. They are called the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. They practice sorcery, prostitution, witchcraft. The last verse of that book, Nahum, talks about their eventual fall and says, all who hear the news about you clap their hands at your fall, for who has not felt your endless cruelty? That's Nineveh. And this is where the Lord is sending Jonah. Daniel in the lion's dens got nothing on Jonah traveling to Nineveh, that's for sure. Traveling to the city that was endlessly cruel. The city that would eventually help send Israel into captivity, to the city that was a symbol of all that opposed the Lord and the Lord's people. Jonah must have been petrified. This is risky business. As if the Ninevites are eager to hear that their way of life is wicked and the wrong way to live. From one lone prophet named Jonah, preaching against them, Jonah must have guessed his life would have been in danger, don't you think? With their blood-stained reputation, Jonah surely was scared for his life. So this was a risky mission. So he disobeys. Heads off, going, whoops, wrong way. But now let's think about it. What is Jonah's disobedience and our own disobedience? Oh, yeah, that's right. Our own disobedience. For you see, it's not just the disobedience of those who put the shameful Olympic opening ceremony together, and we say shame on them very eagerly, definitely deserved, but it's not just their disobedience. It's ours too. What does Jonah's and our disobedience end up doing? First, Jonah's disobedience, our disobedience, separates him from God, separates us from God. That's the thing that is easiest to see in this passage, three verses. The Lord commands Jonah, arise. Trust me, that word arise is in there. It's in the Hebrew text. Arise, go and preach against Nineveh. What does Jonah do? He rises up. Well, he gets that part right. But then he flees. He runs away. He flees to Tarshish, away from the Lord, away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah is trying to make a break for it, get lost in the crowd. He wants out of the deal and tries to sever the ties he has with the Lord. He wants a new life outside of that relationship, so he runs away. He is a frantic fugitive on the run, like he's escaping a burning house. Grabs all he can, and then he hotfoots it out of there. He rises up so he can flee. Goes down to Joppa, finds a ship, pays a fare, goes on board. We can almost hear him shout, get this thing moving already. And where is he off to? Tarshish. Hundreds of miles away. A city that was probably somewhere in Spain. Tarshish. Exact opposite direction than Nineveh. Tarshish. Due west instead of straight east. To Nineveh. Tarshish, a city that according to Isaiah, another prophet, has not heard of the Lord's fame or seen his glory. Jonah is going away from the Lord. The author says this twice at the start and the end of verse 3. Flee, run, same word in Hebrew, away from the Lord. And down to Joppa. And we can't see this in the English text, but it's right there in the Hebrew. Jonah goes down into the ship. He gets on board. He finds a ship, goes down into it. Jonah is fleeing down and away. He's separating himself horizontally from the Lord's mission and vertically from the Lord himself. Down and away. His disobedience is separating him from the Lord. It's what disobedience does. It puts a rift between God and us, a chasm. Down and away we go when we are disobedient. Whether we know it or not, our disobedience, listen, takes us deliberately down and away from the Lord. Disobedience always separates us from God. Second, disobedience also sends an offering of wickedness up to the Lord God. Very subtly, that comes through in these few verses. You see what the text said about Nineveh. Their wickedness has come up before the Lord. That's the reason God wants Jonah to act. But Jonah gets up and starts fleeing. For what reason? To get away from the Lord. Nineveh's wickedness has wafted up like an offering now. Here are the important words. Like an offering before me. Before the Lord, before the Lord's presence, before the Lord's face. But Jonah now rises up to flee from, and here are the words again, to flee from before the Lord, from before the Lord's presence, from before the Lord's face. And again, it's hard to see in English, but in Hebrew, it's the exact same word, before the Lord, before his face, before his presence. The point is, after Jonah flees from before the Lord, what do you think trails up as an offering to the Lord? Like black smoke billowing from a burning tire. Ever see a tire burn? Burns jet black. And fumes, sickening fumes of Jonah's disobedience, of his wickedness, of his sin. That's what comes before the Lord. Jonah disobeys, and now his wickedness comes before the Lord. his wickedness joins the wickedness of the Ninevites. And that offering trails up before the face of the Lord. That's what our disobedience does too. It leaves off a hideous smell and sight that slowly wafts up and comes before the Lord. Our disobedience does that. Whether we know it or not, when we disobey, we send the smell of our rotting sin and decaying righteousness or decaying wickedness. We send it before the Lord as an offering. That's our offering. An aroma pleasing to the Lord? No way. An aroma that disgusts and sickens the Lord. That's what disobedience does. A third, disobedience brings a shift in loyalty. It shifts our allegiance. Now, Jonah allies himself with unbelievers in the Lord. His wickedness joins the ranks of the Ninevites as it comes before the Lord. He allies himself in this way with Nineveh. He's off to Tarshish. Tarshish, a city, according to Isaiah, that has neither heard of the Lord's fame or seen the Lord's glory. And Jonah wants to pick up the pieces of his life there. He wants to throw in his lot with this city of unbelievers, Tarshish. And what about when he's on the ship? Well, he's on the ship, if you read ahead, with sailors who each call to their own god. He's going with them, with more unbelievers, shifting his allegiance from the Lord God to those opposed to the Lord God. You see, Jonah's disobedience has caused a switch in loyalty, in devotion. That's what disobedience does. Ours too. Whether we know it or not, when we disobey, we shift our loyalty. We ally ourselves with someone or something other than God. We try to kick the Lord off the throne in our lives. We try to usurp his power and his authority. We mutiny to overthrow our Lord. That's what disobedience does. So think about it now. You've disobeyed God lately. That wasn't a question. It's a statement. You've disobeyed God lately. I have too. We all have. We all do disobedience extremely well. All right, yeah. I know where you're going with this, Pastor, but Jonah's disobedience, that was a biggie. I mean, he disobeyed a direct order. All right. So noted. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Direct orders. So are these. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony, lie. You shall not covet. You shall not murder. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. You shall not commit adultery, even lust. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall have no other gods before me. Direct orders, all of them, from God. And think about it. You know this. Any slight, ever so slight, failure to measure up to those direct orders, any insignificant crossing over the line. And beloved, we disobey God. A little white lie to spare a long explanation. An irritable refusal to do dishes when asked by mom. A hint of lust while on your smartphone. A quick desire for your friend's new boat. A momentary reliance on wealth. A single slip of an angry tongue. A fleeting moment of forgetting all about God. And beloved, we set a course of down and away disobedience. We set out for Tarshish. We navigate away from God to someone or something else, and we leave a black, smoky trail of wickedness in our wake. It billows before the Lord, and the aroma sickens him. You pull a Jonah when you disobey. You do. I do. We all do. We all disobey our Lord. We all deliberately go the wrong way. Whoops. Down and away from the Lord. Whoops. Offering up the black smoke of wickedness. Whoops. Switching our allegiance away from God. Whoops. And sometimes our whoops, wrong way, when we're honest, is a sorry, not sorry. But you know what the good news is, friends? Jesus' Holy Spirit lives in you. Think about that. Jesus' Holy Spirit lives in you, is united to you. And the good news is Jesus, in his union with you, well, he's not going to let you get all the way to Tarshish. Even when you kind of want to. That's good news for us. Because oftentimes, we do kind of want to. But Jesus, who lives in you, has no intention of letting you get there. He will, if he has to, drag you back. But here's more good news. When he does, who and what do you think you will find when you finally look up to see who or what is dragging you back? You will find Jesus and his grace. You will find gracious, forgiving Jesus welcoming you back, lifting you up, turning you the right way, and helping you follow him once more. Jesus does this for all those with whom he is united. And dear friend, he has united himself to you who trust in Jesus. Think about it. The one who went to the cross to pay for every act of disobedience you do, every sin you commit, everything you have done against him or left undone. He paid for it all at the cross. And now he himself, Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is united to you. He actually is. He will chase you down. He will turn you around. He will receive you with open arms of love and grace and forgive you. He will raise you up to live once more the right way. Whoops! Wrong way? No. By the grace of Jesus, wow, right way. And you repent. I'm so, so sorry. I really am. Can you ever forgive me, Lord Jesus? And his answer every time is, yes, I do forgive you. Now arise and walk with me again. Obey my word once more. Beloved friends, listen one more time. Jesus won't let us get away from the Father because of the cross. Jesus blows that dark, dank smoke of our wickedness away, and in its place, the Father smells the sweet aroma of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And Jesus snatches our allegiance right back to his Father. Jesus does it because of what he did on the cross for you and for me. And Jesus lives in you. So today, once more, arise, confess, and go with Jesus. Amen? Let us pray. Jesus, we are sorry for disobeying you. We are sorry for sinning against you. Please forgive us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for turning us around with grace. Thank you for forgiving us when we disobey you. Help us, we so need it, to obey you. And help us to show you our thanks. Remind us once again that you have united yourself to us so that when we walk this life, we walk it with you. In your name we pray. Amen.